Well, we've been away from the book of James for a couple of Sundays now, and I believe God is leading us back to finish at least chapter 3. We might have to come back on chapter 3 again, quite frankly, as I was looking at this. Now, James is transitioning, and if you've been with us, and even if you're new, that's fine. But a lot of what we've been covering from the book of James has been about our speech, it's been about our tongue, it's been about how we communicate and things of this nature. Now James transitions from not just talking about something, but actually doing it. And I think we can all obviously understand a little bit about that too, that we maybe have heard someone say, talk is cheap. And I mean, that's good when you say something, it's nice, but we want action. We want action for whatever it may be. It might be in the workplace, it might be in our home, and it's good to have the right communication, but it should lead also to the right lifestyle in what we're doing. And that's what we find here as we look at our text today. As we think of this wisdom that is mentioned in our scripture here today, wisdom is evidence of who I am and who you are as a person. Think about that statement. Wisdom is evidence of who I am or who you are as a person. Not even just what we talk about, but what do our lives show forth? What do our actions say? Do our actions say that we are living under the wisdom of God, with the wisdom of God? Or do our actions show, there are two kinds of wisdom, by the way. We looked at that here in our text this morning, that all wisdom is not from above. And again, this is written, by the way, this is not written to people that do not know the Lord. This is written to people that know the Lord. And so what we want as a family of God, as a child of God, is we want to make sure that we're living our lives in God's wisdom, not in our own wisdom, not in the wisdom of the world, not in the wisdom of society. But it's evident that James is saying, look, it's not a good thing to live in that way. And so wisdom is evidence. Wisdom is not knowledge. We have a world today that is consumed with knowledge. I mean, you can get information and knowledge like with your fingers, depending on how fast you know how to type. You can go to these different search engines. Man, my mind, pray for my mind. I don't know why, but I think I said you were from Japan too, someone told me. So you're not from Japan, you're from Korea. All right, I wanted to get that straight. Thank you, Brother Allen, for helping me with that. knowledge is attainable. I mean, we have universities, nothing wrong with universities. We have UBC, we have Simon Fraser, we have other universities that are here. We have technical schools, we have Bible college, all of these places. But knowledge and wisdom are not the same. Wisdom is applying the knowledge in a way that we live for God. So we could have a head full of knowledge here today, but have next to no wisdom. Because if the knowledge that I obtain, if the knowledge that you obtain is not helping me live for God, then it's not wisdom. Wisdom says, okay, I'm getting all of this knowledge, whatever it may be, and now I'm going to use this knowledge that I have to live my life in a better way for God. How I live shows if I have wisdom. I don't say I'm full of wisdom. My life says I'm either full or half full or empty of wisdom based on how I live my life and how we live our life. Wisdom is also an indicator of my spiritual temperature. My spiritual temperature. You may have walked in here today at, I don't know what it is. What is it, Celsius? 37.6? Is that a fever or was it higher than that? I know it's 98 something for my Fahrenheit mind. But anyway, you might have come in here today with your temperature being exactly right, physically. But we may have walked in here today, some of us may have walked in here today with a very low temperature spiritually. Wisdom indicates how my spiritual thermometer is, whether it's low or high. Wisdom, we might even say, what kind of wisdom that I have is displayed, and I've covered this in my actions. Hold your finger in James chapter 3 and turn back to the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. I would encourage you, if you've never read the book of Proverbs, start today. Go home and read Proverbs 1. and read chapter 2 tomorrow and read chapter 3 the next day and take out 31 days and read the book of Proverbs. It's always good to, you can almost do it every month. It would only take you 3 or 4 minutes to read a chapter in Proverbs, but it's filled with wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 9, the theme of the message today is wisdom from above. I don't know, again, about your situation. I know all of us have different things in our life that we are navigating through, but I know this. I know everybody here needs more wisdom. I know this is something I pray for every day. God, I need wisdom. I don't need just knowledge. I don't need just information. I need a touch of God on my life. Do you need a touch of God on your life? Wisdom is so needed in our day because we need to be able to see things with discernment. Because Satan is the master deceiver. He's deceiving religiously. He's deceiving in our nation. He's the great deceiver. Proverbs chapter 9 talks about this as we look at verse number 10. It's a verse you should mark in your heart. You should mark it down in your Bible. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Notice that word, beginning. Then that tells me if I don't fear God, I can't even start to have wisdom. It's impossible. It says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom is so important. What is fearing the Lord? Reverential faith and trust in God. Reverential faith and trust in God. What is fearing the Lord? It's hating evil and loving righteousness. Is that your testimony? Do we hate evil? I mean, do we hate evil? It's shown in maybe what we watch on television or what we stream or what we do on our phone or what we don't do, I should say, or what we do on our laptop or what we read or what we're involved in. That's really going to be what shows if I really hate evil of what I'm not involved in as a follower of Jesus Christ. And what I love should be righteousness. What is righteousness? Simply defined, righteousness is doing right by the Word of God. Doing right by the Word of God. Oh, I'm telling you, this book needs to be a part of our life every single day. This is how we're going to hate evil and love righteousness. This is how we're going to fear God. This is how we're going to have wisdom, is by being in the Word of God. If you are saved here today, God is giving you and wants to give you wisdom. You have a resource called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of you as a believer and wants to give you the wisdom that only cometh from above. Let's go back to our text and let's go over a few things as we look at verse 13. God's word reads, who is a wise man? James is asking a question, who has wisdom? Who has endued with knowledge among you? Who is there in Anchor Baptist Church that is a wise man? This is not speaking of the male only. This is speaking of all of us, mankind. Who is there in Anchor Baptist Church that has wisdom? This isn't about my judgment on you or anyone's judgment on you. Praise God, we have this right here. 66 books from cover to cover, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, two Testaments, inspired, infallible Word of God. And the Word of God tells us everything we need to know. It tells us how to live our life as a husband. Amen, husbands. It tells us how to live our life as a wife. Amen, wives. Amen. We've got wives saying amen 2 weeks in a row. It tells us how to live our lives as children in the home. It tells us how to live our lives as an employee. It tells us how to live our lives as a church member, a brother in Christ. Everything we need is in the Word of God. And so if you're only spending 5 minutes in the Bible every day, you're probably not going to have a lot of wisdom. How are you going to live your life in this old wicked world, as Brother Pope says, the nasty now and now? How are we going to live our lives in the nasty now and now if we only set aside 5 to 10 minutes in the Bible? I'll tell you how we're going to do it. It's going to be failure. Because Satan is way more powerful than my knowledge. Think about it now. I have been hearing the Bible since I was 9 months before I was born. I've been acquiring knowledge. There's a lot I know, but wait a minute. Wisdom applies it. you walk out the door here today and tell me all the stories of Sunday school and the Betty Lukens flannel graph. That'll date me. The Betty Lukens flannel graph that is stored away somewhere. Who knows where it's at? But anyway, praise God for flannel graph. And I can tell you all the stories. Knowledge, 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 knowledge. Even knowledge about the Bible. But if I'm not living it, then I have no wisdom. And I'm concerned that we, okay? Can we say we? We. We, right here today. We probably have a lot of knowledge. If we took all the knowledge in you and we could pick each one of you up and dumped your knowledge into a barrel and we have the knowledge of the Bible right here, we'd have to get tons of 50-gallon barrels full of knowledge. But I wonder if we picked all of us up and we shook us a second time and we said, okay, only wisdom comes out this time. How many barrels will we fill up? I think it would be far less. In fact, I don't think I know. I'm speaking about me, not you, me. But James asks a question. Who is wise among you? Here's the answer. Look at the verse. Let him show. Remember show and tell? Okay? Just think about show and tell if you had that in school. If you didn't, ask me afterwards and I'll tell you about it. Let him show out of a good conversation his works. Uh-oh, now we're not talking about just talking. We're talking about something that, right here, you know. There's something to this. Tangible, right? But look at it. Works with meekness of wisdom. Boy, that verse right there, there's a mouthful. In fact, there's more than one or two mouthfuls right there. In one verse, you just meditate on that one verse. Even if you took that verse this week and decided, I'm going to meditate on James 3:13, you could even dig deeper into it, and you probably, God would give you even more than what God gave me. But I'm telling you this morning, every verse in the Bible is applicable to our lives. It's inspired, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that. What does inspired mean? It means God breathed. This book is not something that James sat down one day and took a pen out and said, I think I'm going to write some things on paper. No, God told James what to write. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is not a book by men, okay? This is a book written by God. Yes, he used men to grab a pen and write it down, but it was God telling them, God breathed. It's the only book like it. There is no other book like the Bible. None. Zero. The only book. That's why we can look at it today and we can say, okay, I need wisdom. All right, think about this. This word show means to put on display. That's what it means. It doesn't mean we come up here every Sunday and we have our Sunday best on and we say, ah, I've got my Sunday best suit. I can't wait for everybody to see it. Not that kind of show. We don't need that. Yes, wear your best, though, to church. God deserves our best. I think we should do that. But that's not how, that's pride. That's not meekness. That's not what he's talking about. But he says here that my wisdom, if I have wisdom, it will be very evident. Notice the word conversation. The word conversation, that is not me taking Brother Colton out to Starbucks and getting a coffee and talking. That's not what the word conversation means, translated from the Greek word. This word conversation has to do with how someone is living their life. Wisdom, number one, is shown in our walk. Wisdom, number one, is shown in our walk. If I have wisdom, it will be on display for others to see. Not to see me, but to see Christ in me. If I have wisdom, it will be demonstrated only by the grace of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way I can have wisdom, but I can have it. I ask you this morning to think about this question. Does my life demonstrate the grace of God? You ask yourself that. Think about that. Does my life demonstrate the grace of God? Now, what about this word meekness? How should my wisdom be displayed? James says it right here. it should be done with meekness. What is meekness? It's mildness. We could also say in this case the word humility. If God would allow us, and I'm not saying we don't have this, but if God would allow us to have a church that is filled with people that want to display the wisdom of God in meekness, in humility, only by the grace of God, for the glory of God, God will help a church like this, in a home like your home. It, by the way, this is not about just a church. This is about going home and living what the Bible teaches us on the Sunday morning, and the Sunday night, and the Wednesday night, and it's taking all of that, and your Bible reading every day, and not just acquiring knowledge. We could all go home today and say, okay, good, I need wisdom from above. But what does that look like? What does that look like in my life? What does it look like in your life? How are we going to, only by the grace of God, how are we going to apply the knowledge so that it can be wisdom? You understand what I'm saying? And God will help us. It's not up to you and it's not up to me to apply it in our own strength. Thank God for that. He will help you. So number one, wisdom is shown in our walk. Look at verse 14, please. Now we have the transitional word, but. We have a conjunction. Conjunction, conjunction, what's your function? I remember hearing that. That's somewhere way back there in my chair. I'm thinking about all these things from 30 and 40 years ago for some reason. Forgive me for that. But, okay, so now it's not going to be the same. It's going to be the antithesis. It's going to be the opposite of meekness. And by the way, what I'm about ready to read has infiltrated believers. I mean, I'm talking about old-time believers, saved for years. This has infiltrated their heart. And when it infiltrates believers, guess what it infiltrates next? The church. And then you know what it does? Number three, it destroys our impact on the world. They don't need 14. But if ye have, look at this, bitter envying. Just saying that word gives me a bad taste in my mouth, doesn't it, you? Because we know what bitter things taste like. Hey, think about it. Let your senses that God has given you help you and help me to understand even a word like this. When you think of the word bitter, and maybe you think of something right now that's bitter and you've tasted it before, and what did it do to your face? I don't think this is true, but think about it. When I get bitter, what does it do to God's face? When God looks down and he sees a church filled with bitterness, does it give him a face that, you know, that bitter? I mean, I don't think that happens, but just use your sanctified imagination, all right? I don't want God's face to turn like that in the way that I'm living my life. Because he sees Ben Turner, who's been saved by the grace of God, knows better, and has been trained, and has the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and there's no reason for him to live in bitter envying. We'll look at that word envying as well, by the way, in just a minute. But just when I say that word bitter, it just has it does something to my tongue. He says there, and strife. Oh my. Okay, let's keep reading. In your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Number two, we see wicked behavior. Number one, wisdom is shown in our walk. Number two, we see wicked behavior. Notice there are several things that James mentions that nullifies wisdom. That's where that word but says, if you live like this, you have no wisdom. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, back to the book of wisdom. Proverbs 27, please, if you could, with me. Proverbs 27. And I'm thankful that Anchor Baptist Church reads the Bible often in a church service. Amen. Say amen to that. Thank you, Mr. Ross. Others of you agree. I'm telling you, you realize there's some places you can go that says church and you get very little Bible. Now, that's their problem. I don't have to answer for them. That's okay. I'm not being unkind. Just saying that's the truth. I have to stand before God someday for this congregation. And by the grace of God, we need to get lots of Bible. Because the Bible is what changes a life, not Ben. The Bible does. You don't change any life, but the Bible that you hold in your hand right now does. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Use the Bible. Read it, study it, put it in your home, read it in the home. And thank God we have a church that says this is the Word of God. It doesn't say it contains the Word of God. We say it is the Word of God. And we're holding it up high. It makes a difference in our life. Look what Proverbs 27:4 says. It says, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before what? Envy. Envy. Bitter spirit. And we go back to the text. Envy. We could also say bitter spirit. Okay? Envy. Think about envy. Envy is saying, you know, I look at someone and I'm envious of them. I'm envious of what they have. I'm envious of who they are. I'm envious of what they can do. You know, when I was in high school, I envied, not to the level, I wasn't, I think, sinful envy, but I wanted to be Michael Jordan, you know. Who was I kidding? 5'9 and a half? 6'6? You know, I mean, what was I thinking? Nothing, right? That's what I wanted to be. I mean, I wanted to do that stuff, you know. I wanted to play basketball like him. Envy is a sin that usually leads us to do something else that is a sin. Can I give you an example? Okay, in the Old Testament, we won't turn for time, but there's a man by the name of Joseph, not Jesus' father, stepfather, but Joseph in the Old Testament, right? The Bible says that one day his brothers envied him. Envied him. It says it right there. It says that they envied him. Why? Because he had a really cool coat that his dad gave him. Again, probably not a good thing to do as a parent. That's not the message today. But he had a really cool coat, and he was the preferred one. And they envied him. And you know what? The envy for Joseph did not stop with just envy. And it was so bad that one of his brothers said, let's take his coat, let's kill him, and we'll put the blood on the coat and say, some animal got him. That didn't happen, but that's where it was headed. They threw him in a pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites. God was still in that, but I'm just saying, envy will lead an individual to other sins. Envy. Listen carefully to this quote. It's a little lengthy, but I believe it's worth it. Envy is worse than both of them, wrath and anger. Here's why. I love this quote. Partly because it is more unjust and unreasonable and not caused by any provocation. No, in other words, no one brought it on. You know, I envy Brother Colton because of the way he waves his arms when he leads the singing. This is totally hypothetical. Hypothetical. I could never do it, okay? He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that. He didn't bring anything on. See what I'm saying? He doesn't know. I envy that person. They have no idea. They didn't do anything. That's why envy is worse than wrath even and anger. Let me keep reading this quote. Not caused by any provocation, as wrath and anger are. When somebody does something to you, you can go from 0 to 100 quickly. That's wrath and anger. That's not envy. You understand the difference? Okay. But only proceeding from a malignity of mind. It's all up here. It's just something I'm thinking, not something someone did to me. Whereby a man is grieved for another man's happiness. We can even be envious of someone who got a new job and higher pay. We could be envious of someone who got a new car or got new threads. Okay? Wow, I wish I had those. Envy. Watch it. Be careful. It's okay to have new threads. They didn't do anything wrong. And partly because it is more secret and undiscernible. Therefore, the mischievous effects of it, envy, are hardly avoidable. You can't stop with just envy, typically. Whereas wrath and anger discover themselves. It shows up quickly. And so forewarn and forearm a man against the danger. James is saying here, hey, if you've got bitter envy, hold it. Bridge out, right? Bridge out, train coming. You don't have wisdom if you've got bitter envy. By the way, this is written to people that are going to church, so to speak, right? Sunday best. You've got bitter envy. It's not good. Notice then he says, and strife. Strife. What is this? This is a belligerent spirit. Hostility. Strife. You know, I can never be at right with someone. I've always got strife. James says, it's not good. It's no way to live. Then he says, we could spend more time on that, but we'll keep on because we need to keep moving. He says, glory not. What is this? This is a boastful spirit. Don't boast. Don't boast if you're living in this way. Don't boast if you've got envies. Don't boast if you've got a strife. Don't have a boastful spirit. A boastful spirit denies the truth. Look at me. Look at all I can do. No. Look at God. Look at Christ. Hide me behind the cross, Father. Hide me behind the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could just get a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, it's got value. Because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. May God give us a room here today and rooms here today of men and women and young people that say death to pride. Brother Mejia's not coming in here saying, look at Brother Mejia, I'm here to save the whole Spanish world. That's not what he's saying. He's coming in here saying, I want to serve God. They drove 8,000 kilometers to get here. We're not playing games. This isn't hopscotch. This is death. This is eternal death for some that don't hear the gospel. This family has pulled up. They have a home there. They've pulled up and driven all the way over here to say, we want to help reach some Spanish people. This isn't about a family. This isn't even about a church. This is about the King. And let me tell you, he's coming. I don't want to be found on the bench. I don't want to be found laying down. I want to be found moving forward for him with a humble spirit by the grace of God, with a humble spirit, with a joyful heart, and not wishing I had more than what God has given me, because God has given me richly all things to enjoy. He is worthy. And the song that we heard this morning, his ways are higher than ours. Let's accept his ways. Whatever they may look like. Look like. You have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. Then we see in verses 15 and 16 a little bit more about this. I'm going to try not to end this on a downward slide, but we'll just go as far as we can. He says, this wisdom. Okay, what kind of wisdom? The wisdom from verse 14, not 13, but 14. You follow the text? This wisdom, notice what he says. So number three, we have worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is number three. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above. And here he gives three terms, okay? Number one, he says, this is earthly wisdom. This is sensual wisdom. And this is devilish wisdom. Now think about, okay, three terms. Of course, we have one major enemy, and his name is Satan. He's the father of all lies. He hates God. He hates everything God loves. God loves you. That means Satan hates you. Satan wants you to go to hell because he's going there. He's going to the lake of fire for all eternity. He's already sealed the deal that he's headed there. He hates the Bible. God loves his word. He hates you. God loves you. He hates the home. God loves the home. God loves the church. Satan hates the church. Satan hates everything that has to do with God. And he says here, this wisdom is just like the enemies that we have. What are the three enemies that we have? They're labeled in some portions of our Bible. Number one is the world. I think we could mark and we could say that the world represents the wisdom that is earthly. The world is an enemy. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the system of this world. The system of this world is totally against God. Because Satan is the prince and power of the air. God has given him, so to speak, a leash. And he's doing all that he wants to do under God's control. God's not out of control, folks. Nothing's happening today that God sits up in heaven and says, "Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen." God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's given every man a free will. He even gave Satan a free will. He also gave the angels that left with Satan a free will. You have a free will here today. Do you want to come to Christ? Do you want to come to God by the way of the Bible? Or are you going to try to come to God in your way or the religious way or whatever? That's, let me just say, humbly and but with authority and with compassion, you're not going to come to God anyway except the way the Bible tells you. Satan will try to get you to go any way but the good way, the best way, excuse me, the Bible way. So we see that one. He says that wisdom is, it's earthly. It's of the world. Secondly, he says that wisdom is sensual. That's the flesh. That's me. That's my desires. The word lust has to do with our desires. And we don't want to have me calling the shots for me. You don't want to have you calling the decisions for you. That's sensual wisdom. That's fleshly wisdom. That's not from above. Then he says, the third one, he says it's devilish. That's the devil. So here we have the three enemies of the Christian, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Right there represented in those types of wisdom. And he says, avoid these. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Let's turn over there quickly. It's just a few pages back. We're just about circling here. Final approach. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom? There's the word again. But what kind of wisdom? Wisdom of the world. You could connect 1 Corinthians 1:20 to James chapter 3 and verse number 15. God says that kind of wisdom, it's not even wisdom. It's foolishness. And do you know who the fool, you know what the fool says? Fool says in his heart, there is no God. Oh, but I've got a lot of wisdom. Okay. Sadly, God says that wisdom from earthly is foolish. Walking across the platform this year, getting a diploma, lots of people getting diplomas. Praise God for education. This is not a message against education. This is a message for the Word of God. That's where we get wisdom to apply the knowledge that we receive. Remember, if our tank is simply full of knowledge, we're not going very far. We need wisdom to apply it. And this wisdom that we need it is not earthly. It's not sensual. It's not devilish. It's wisdom from above that leads to meekness, to getting rid of strife. Those are the things we talked about. If you're still in 1 Corinthians, would you let your eyes go down one more verse to verse 21? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, circle that word, the world by wisdom, this almost doesn't make sense if you just read it quickly. Paul says here to this worldly church, that's another message, but he says, hey, look, Corinthians, the world by their wisdom knew not God. What? Wisdom led people to not know God? Yes, the wrong kind of wisdom. Wisdom that was not from above. Wisdom that was from beneath. Then he says, it pleased God. How many of you want to please God? Want to please God? I want to please God with my life. Do I always please God? No. But I want to please God. Paul says here, how are we going to please God? It's not by gaining more earthly wisdom. Paul says, we please God by the foolishness. Isn't it interesting how he's using that word twice? One time he's saying the wisdom of the world is foolish. But now he's saying, we please God by the foolishness of preaching. Here's why I think he says that. Because the world thinks this book is a bunch of foolishness. It's just like, you know, the comic strips in the paper. God says, no, that's not true. You'll be pleased standing up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, whatever nights we can open this Word of God and teach it and preach it. We can open it in daily devotions in our home. Yeah. This isn't about just coming to church. It's about opening the Bible in our homes and reading it in our private Bible time. And the Bible is preaching to us and preaching to us. And it's foolishness to the world. But it pleases God. And when I'm dead and gone and in heaven, I don't care if the world said, Ben Turner pleased me. He came into my Starbucks all these times. No, I want people to say, that man right there wasn't perfect, but he pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And I don't mean as a pastor. I mean just as a follower of Jesus Christ. To save them that believe. Why are we preaching? One reason we're preaching is to save the people that will believe. Believe what? Me? No. Believe God's word. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Praise God for this book. Romans 1:22, just listen to it. The time is just about over. Romans 1:22 says this about the world, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I didn't write it. In that case, Paul wrote it. This is the worldly wisdom that I hope none of us in here are striving for. It's no good. False wisdom brings confusion. False wisdom brings chaos. False wisdom, or human wisdom, earthly wisdom, brings about every vile and good-for-nothing thing. It has no value at all at its best, and at its worst, it's vile. We don't need the wisdom of this world. Because the wisdom of this world is going to take you and me away from this book. The wisdom of this world is going to take you and me, us away from following God. And sadly, there are casualties all over the place. All over the place. All over the place. Casualties that sat in services at Acre Baptist Church over these 25 years. Yes, Galatians 6:1 is a verse you should always have under your heart and mind. We need to always be ready to restore anyone. Okay? This is not piling on. This is just a warning. This is a train is coming. This is a bridge is out statement. There are casualties from 25 years of preaching the gospel. To God be the glory. There are casualties all over the place. And the majority of the casualties are because of the wisdom of the world. They're not in church today because they chose the wrong wisdom. And they chose the wisdom that looked brighter. By the way, it will look brighter. They chose the wisdom that looked more popular. And by the way, it will look more popular. They chose the wisdom that looked like it would give them fulfillment. And by the way, it will look like that. But what it promises, it cannot provide. This wisdom of the world. Let me tell you what it provides. It provides destruction. Heartache, broken homes, broken relationships, destruction. That's what it provides. It doesn't advertise that. You know, the old alcohol commercials and cigarette commercials and all that stuff, they didn't show the guy in the gutter puking up on a Saturday morning. The wisdom of the world says, hey, drink this and you'll be like that football player. That's the wisdom of the world. It has nothing of value to offer. I'm just saying, by the word of God, listen to the word of God. Look what he says it ends. Look what happens. Look what comes from it. Instead, verse 16, I don't have time to go into it. I'm going to have to probably come back to 16, 17, and 18. I'm sorry to leave you on such a somber note. But this is the result of worldly wisdom. Verse 16. May we just read it quickly? For where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion. Well, I thought this was going to be this, or I thought this was going to be that, or I thought it was going to lead to that. And it's the problem is we thought and we never got counsel, or we never took time to pray. I thought she was the one. I thought he was the one. I thought they were the one. I thought this was the place. I thought. But did we pray? Did we seek help from a pastor? Did we seek help from a parent? Did we seek anything at all from someone maybe a little bit older than us that could show us biblical principles about what to do? And in this case, James says all of this, verse 14 and 15, this is what it ends up to. Confusion, and then do you see the last statement? It's really a tough one to swallow. Look what it says. And every, not most, every evil work. Wow. When I read that, it just kind of takes your breath away. Not some, not most, not a few. God's word is there specifically. Do you believe that? Every jot and tittle. Every evil work. Why? Because I followed wisdom that was from the world. I followed wisdom that was from the flesh, or I followed wisdom that was from the devil. Earthly, sensual, devilish. The end result, evil. The end result, confusion. This is to believers. Please, don't miss that. This is not a message to the lost world. This is a message to Ben Turner, who knows he's going to heaven when he dies. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved me. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. But by the grace of God, I'm on my way to heaven today. And this message is telling me, Ben, you better not grab the wrong kind of wisdom. And it's to you too. You better not take the wrong kind of wisdom. Because it looks so good. It might even look like it's going to be sweet. Like some things you've tasted before. You thought, man, that's going to taste really good. I can't wait to have one of those. Chomp. And you're like, ooh. Like I did with durian. Yeah, you durian fans out there. No. I chomped into that thing. It had chocolate even on it. I'm like, whoa! My tongue said, get out of here, Vladimir. Looks so good. But that's what Satan does. He says to you, young adults, hey, young adults, it says to you, this looks good. Go this way. Choose this path. Take this wisdom. Chomp. Ooh. That was not what I was expecting. Teenagers, use the right kind of wisdom. Satan has everything all flowery and beautiful and nice, and it looks cool, and it's the thing to do, and it's the hip way to go. Let's live like this. Let's do this. Let's go this way. It's not going to impact anything anyway. It's just me. And we take a bite. It's bitter. Bitter, bitter, bitter. And the end result is every evil work. Wow. Let's pray.